Welcome, welcome. 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon. It is the Hull Show powered by PDC Energy, and I am Brady Hull, joined on the other side, from the other side of the glass, Colfax a million. And every night, it's, you notice that? It's Colfax a million now. That's kind of where I've transitioned your nickname to. Do you like?
That one's okay, sure.
It's not one of the better ones? I don't know where it comes from. Maximilian?
Colfax a million?
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
It's different.
Colfax, Colbs.
Colby Jack Cheese.
That's a great
that's
one.
Solid.
Colas and Ford? Have I called you that
one
lately?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that one slips in there sometimes. I don't know what it means, but
it's a Harrison Ford.
Okay.
You know? I don't know.
Okay.
You strike me as a... What is he? What's his name?
Indiana Jones?
No.
The Fugitive?
No, the guy. Star Wars.
Oh, Han Solo.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, you kind of strike me as that. Yeah, that's a compliment, man.
Like
he's
a
the
space
coolest.
Cowboy kind of.
You're a space cowboy.
Yeah.
Yes, you are a space cowboy. Does that make me... Who does that make me? Am I Luke?
Definitely Chewbacca.
I'm Chewbacca?
No.
So, yeah, I'm your Chewbacca.
No, you wouldn't be Chewbacca. You'd definitely be like Luke.
I can't do the thing.
Yeah. We have another Chewbacca at the station here for sure.
Oh, yeah, we have another Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Even though he's more of a Star Trek.
Star Trek
fan. Oof. Boy, that'll get you in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
If you say Star Trek. Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of fun.
It is fun. It's fun to do that because they get so mad.
So mad.
They just get so mad. It's fun. It's a good time. Wow. How about the Avalanche last night? So this is crazy. This is why hockey is both really awesome and sometimes can be infuriating even to the fans. Vegas outplayed, and it didn't take, you don't have to be a hockey connoisseur, Colfax, to realize that Vegas outplayed the Avs last night. I mean, for what, 42 shots, 41 shots on goal? That means you're in their territory a lot, getting a lot of shots. But the Grubauer, 39, save 16 in the third.
Wall of the shot, flutters in on Grubauer, he covers. And now Tuck makes his return. Tuck out of the box. He will play the puck, moves it on Grubauer, and is stopped. That's a 25 seconds on the power play for Vegas. Petrangelo for Smith, shoots off the post for the third time tonight. Smith hits the post.
Same side of the net.
Now Marchessault shoots, knocked out by Grubauer. Puck comes back to Jonathan Marchessault.
Oh, man, I tell you, I've said this a lot. I think being a goalie has got to be one of the more difficult positions in all of sports. I mean, think about that, man. Grubauer's in this position all the time where the pucks are just flying at him left and right. You have more equipment on than anybody on the ice, and you're constantly doing these crazy maneuvers. When I was a kid growing up watching Patrick Waugh, I used to think that Patrick Waugh and goalies were like offensive linemen, that they were just massive men. And then they take their pads off. They're still big dudes. I mean, they're professional hockey players, but they're not like as big. They have to be extremely agile. You have to be very smart. You know, and your eyesight, I mean, a lot of things have to go extremely well to be an amazing goalie. So to this day, I know being a pitcher is crazy. Hitting off of a pitcher is crazy. Being a quarterback is nuts. A lot of silly, crazy positions in the NBA. But to me, man, I don't know. I don't know how you get much more difficult than being a shutdown goalie. And that is what you saw. That's what you absolutely saw. And it was cool, man. I mean, it was just one of those games where it felt like any minute, the Avs are going to lose this thing. And when you have goalkeeping like that, similar to a great pitcher in baseball, I mean, it's something pretty special. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. So the Avs are up now. Two to nothing in this series. You got to feel like you got away with that one because Grubbs, right? He tears it up, and you got to feel like you get away with that one. So you're up 2-0. Man, you're playing with house money. Go split here in Vegas. The Avs haven't lost in a while now. 6 in a row in these playoffs. Sweeping St. Louis, now up 2-0. They can't sweep them, right? Sweeps are rare in hockey, but I don't know. That first game, they looked way better than Vegas. Way better. Second game, they didn't look Vegas looked much better, but the goaltending there. So, again, this is one of those wins where you walk away going, wow, kind of got one. They won't say stole one, but fans and sports guys will say that. So we can, you know, we can talk about it. Get this, Colfax. In the month of June, in the entire month of June, both the Nuggets, Rockies, and Avalanche are undefeated. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's really amazing. 3 days in, they're undefeated. I think the Nuggets have played one, and then the Rockies have won two in a row. Don't look now. They're going to win this series against Texas. And, of course, the Avs haven't lost in a long time. I mean, they won those last three games they needed to get in to get the President's Trophy, beating Vegas, beating San Jose twice, and then they swept St. Louis. Now they're on this win streak. So for my, what is that like? Are they at a nine in a row now? And that's just based off of what I don't even have their schedule in front of me. I'm just going with the three games that they had to win. So I think they won two or three before that. So they're like on a 11 game winning streak here. It feels like they're going to win the Stanley Cup. They're going to get their third cup, and it's, you know, now they tie the Broncos with championships. I mean, it sure feels like it. Isn't that crazy? Tie the Broncos up. And good for them, man. Good for this area. Good for this state. It's been a good week. I mean, it really has. Like we said, the Avs are rolling. The Nuggets win just a huge game the other night. Still reeling after that one. And I'm watching it on record again tonight, Colfax. So don't text me updates. Don't give me score information. Because it depends. Gavin, sometimes my kiddo likes to watch sports. Sometimes he's like, let's watch Winnie the Pooh for the 4 millionth time. I don't remember how they got out of this one, Dad. We got to watch this again. How did Tigger do that one? So we may have to go that route, which is fine. Since the invention of record TiVo, do we even call it TiVo anymore? So it used to be TiVo.
So I think it's just a DVR.
Just DVR.
Yeah.
Yeah, TiVo. I like TiVo. That. Yeah, good old fashioned TiVo.
It's like 20 years ago, man.
Sorry, it does
the first Stanley Cup. They were doing TiVo.
I mean, I remember that though. My dad used to record things on VHS tapes.
Oh, totally.
And he'd record over all of our stuff, man. Because he's like, whatever the hell I can find. The Broncos game starts at 2. I grew up on a farm, so if we're like in a cattle drive or something. You can't come in. You got to get crap done. So he pops in the VHS, whatever he can find, and then you press record. And that was like the coolest thing in the world. Once you figured out you could record things on a VHS.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Life-changing.
Oh, my goodness. I can record this show? Okay, now we're in business. Now it's like, I record crap I don't even want to watch. I'm just like, who knows?
Load it up.
Press record. And it's like, oh, you're max now. You're recording like 18 things at one time. And I go and find all my wife's stuff. I'm like, yeah, she doesn't need to watch that again. And I know I'm going to watch that documentary on Sasquatch. Totally. You know, have to see what the hell's going on there. Plus, I save games. Tons of great games because I think I'm going to go back. And I do sometimes. If they're great games, great plays, like NBA especially, Broncos season, I'll go back and watch throughout the week. Kind of get a better idea of you know what we're going to talk about. So I'll be recording tonight. And so that is our Power to Play Sports poll question. Will the Nuggets close this thing out tonight? Or are we going 7? You got two closeout potential games tonight. You got Nuggets Blazers and then you got Lakers Suns. Lakers aren't going to get boosted out, right? They're going to take this thing 7, aren't they? I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of that does depend on their situation with Anthony Davis. If he can't go, then yeah, you're gonna be a little scared about that one if you're a Lakers fan. Suns are gonna try to keep running this thing, and then it would be Nuggets and Suns. I mean, don't you get the sense, Colfax, that the hardest challenge right now is what the Nuggets are facing? I mean, it's like again, we're watching some good basketball. It just seems like Portland's a really good team that's getting better, but the Nuggets are also doing what they need to do to at least be up 3-2. But it feels like Portland's the tough one. If they can get past Portland, then maybe the toughest part of their road is over, which is also kind of scary because the Nuggets tend to overlook teams, right? So you want to be careful there. So bottom line tonight is you have to ask the question, what does the injury situation look like for the Lakers? The Lakers are two-point favorites tonight. So does that mean Anthony Davis is playing? He's out. He's listed as out. Groin. So, I mean, but it's at home, or it's in L.A., so that's going to be interesting. Got Nuggets, Blazers tonight. And then the Rockies could sweep Texas. I know that was on your number one list this week of great things that have happened in sports.
Absolutely. I mean,
I'm telling you, they just keep flirting with that titty. I keep thinking they're going to drop to like 15, 20 games under 500, and they get about 12 games out, and now they're pulling themselves back into 10. That's my kind of barometer, is like, if you can stay under 10 games under 500, it's not a colossal failure.
It's not bad.
It's not, considering, what are they at, 24 wins right now? It's not the worst thing in the world. The over-under was 65. I don't think, they're 22 wins. Okay, 22 and 34. So they are 12 games under.
Okay.
But they've won three in a row. They beat the Pirates in that last game of the series. They beat the Rangers the last two games and close out that one tonight. Or actually, no, that one's going on today. We didn't get booted today. How about that? We got Rockies starting up at 110, so we didn't get knocked off the air. I don't know. Maybe that's a quota. If the Rockies can get close to five games under 500, that's when we start getting booted. I don't know who the hell makes the decisions on that. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. All right, big story of the day. This is actually a follow-up from yesterday's story. Dun, 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 dun. Drop my thing. Got so excited about this story. I'm not that excited about it. So Coach K retires yesterday, or we get the news, right? Coach is like the winningest coach in college basketball history. Suddenly, sometimes my brain doesn't go there, Colfax. Maybe I'm naive. I just kind of went to, I mean, the dude's been doing it for how many years? He's been coaching. He's in his 70s. My brain just goes to, yeah, it's probably time. Well, the national media speculation is that due to the changes in the game, Coach K is kind of over it, meaning the transfer portal. And players can come and go left and right. Marion Medcalf of ESPN wrote, and of course quoted him, saying, no, it's not the game. It's not the changing game. I want to be around my family. So, I mean, this is something where now people are talking about it. So I like the first part of this article. Shortly after, athletic director Kevin White called Duke's longtime head coach the GOAT and promised a deep NCAA tournament run the final season of his legendary career, which that's going to be fun if you're a Duke fan. If not, whatever. Coach K corrected him. You know, my athletic director, my friend Kevin White, comes up there and he calls me a GOAT. I was glad he didn't call me a donkey. And then it's not about having a run next year. It's about having a finish. So just so we're on the same wavelength. Yeah. So he had the crowd going there. It was a weird little celebration for him. He's like walking in and there's women cheerleading and clapping into this weird soft song. It was a weird deal for sure. But now there's like speculation that, why are you doing it now? Because now there's all these changes, right? There's all these investigations going on. There's all these things are getting different. And again, I'm not insinuating at all that he would be in the, you know, investigated for something. Although when great coaches retire, it enters your brain. Ooh, I wonder what's coming down the wire. Let's not go there yet. It is college basketball, though. He said he finalized the decision after the season when he went away with his wife, that he spoke to their children and Duke's assistant about the move. Well, of course, they did have a rough year last year in Duke's, for Duke standards, for sure. He said, you might ask, why are you doing it right now? Look, this is not about health. Mickey and I, whether we look it or not, she does. Whether I look healthy, I am. It's not about COVID or saying, boy, that year was so bad. It's not about that. It's certainly not about what's going on with college basketball. Boy, the game is changing. All right. I've been in it for 46 years. You think the game has never changed? I mean, 46 years. That's where I went with it. The dude's been doing it forever. So I don't think it's because of that. I mean, he's in his 70s. He's coached for 46 years. So sometimes it's not about that. Now, it makes sense if that were the reason. Hey, you know, it'd be tough keeping up with this stuff now because it is going to be difficult. No question about it. 20 minutes after the hour, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Are the Nuggets going to do this thing tonight? Closing it down? This is what happened 2 years ago. They couldn't do it. Portland took it to a game 7 and beat them on their home court. At the time, Pepsi Center. So, this is important. They're all important, but this one, yeah. If they lose, I'm going to be a little nervous on game 7. It's very stressful. They're all very stressful. But 85% of the Hooligans say, Game 7, here we come. 14% saying, close it out tonight. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll get into more of that. My game of the week, we'll discuss that more in detail. Kelly Lyle coming up of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Pick his brain about the schedule release. We didn't talk to him last week. And this Boston College transfer, this running back. So see what he thinks there. How many Boston College players are we up to now? We'll see if Kelly has the head count. 21 minutes after the hour. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Glad you could be with us here. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to my friends. You guys know our boy, Dr. Michael Mosier. He teaches all things beer and chemistry at UNC. He does the Brew Talk program that airs on Wednesday night with Tanner and Chad. And now he's the owner of Rule 105 Brewing, formerly Broken Plow Brewing. And this is I've always loved the location. I love that spot. But one of my very good friends is Doc Mo, and I'm very happy about this. Man, don't you think that a guy that teaches people how to brew beer is going to be able to brew some pretty damn good beer? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he's been brewing beer for a while now. And so he'd bring it in on occasion. And
I don't want to say decades, but it might be decades.
It could be decades.
It might be a very long time.
And he's a big Def Leppard fan, man. He's been at those concerts, so he's been around the block. But Doc is a great guy. He knows everything.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he knows literally everything.
Not just about beer, but everything.
Everything.
Including beer.
Including beer. And that's what you want.
Yep.
So, yes, formerly Broken Plow Brewery, they're going to have their launch party and all that stuff, but their Facebook page is up, so check them out. Go to just search at Rule 105, Rule 105 Brewing. What is the rule?
Something about...
Beer's the answer?
Beer's always the answer.
Beer's always the answer?
Yeah.
I think that's what it
that's
is.
That's the rule.
Yeah, that's the rule. I'll get corrected on that again, I'm sure, because I screw that up. But the bottom line is it's damn good beer, and Rule 105... Brewing is the answer. We got to go down there, grab a beer soon, man.
Count me in.
Let's do it. That'd be fun. 28 minutes after the hour. Let's see here. What am I talking about here? Oh, yeah. Well, Colfax. It's our game of the week tonight. It is. I did not go game 5. I went game 6 between Denver and Portland because I knew it's either going to be closeout opportunity for the Nuggets or survival mode. I'll tell you right now, I'm happy that tonight is not survival mode. So, yes, this is my game of the week. Damian Lillard is absolutely tearing it up, man. There's no question about it. But what I think is something that has kind of gone overlooked in this series, what have I always said about Portland and their guards, right? We say Damian Lillard. And we say C.J. McCollum, perhaps the best guard duo in the league. Now, I know that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are there, but Klay's been out for so long. Those two guys, in my mind, are the best guard combo in the NBA. So what's been interesting about this series is that, sure, Dame's torn all but one game. Damian Lillard has flat out torn this team up. But the other guard that's supposed to be really, really good, and he is CJ McCollum. Who's been guarding him? Austin Rivers and Monte Morris, off and on. When McCollum's been held under 20 points, they're Portland's 0-3. So, I mean, that's a big deal when you can hold him under 20. Check it out. You go to just looking at the time collected as far as the tracking data. NBA.com has tracking data. Rivers has been on CJ McCollum for 18 minutes, 46 seconds. Morris has guarded him for 14 minutes, 49 seconds. They're the only Denver defenders to spend more than 8 minutes these past five games guarding CJ McCollum. Portland's 6'3" shooting guard and guarding him very well. McCollum versus Rivers. McCollum is 4 of 17 shooting. That's 23%, 2 of 7 on three-pointers, 6 assists, 2 turnovers. When Morris is in, little better, but not much. 8 of 20 shooting, 1 of 5 on three-pointers, 4 assists, and 4 turnovers. However, when those two aren't on him, McCollum versus every other Nugget, 29 of 56 shooting, so he's 51%, 9 of 22 on threes, 13 assists, and 5 turnovers. So bottom line, when Rivers and Morris are guarding McCollum, you take away a huge option. And that's part of that philosophy of, we know Damian Lillard is a freak of nature. He's going to get 30, he's going to get 40, but we can't let McCollum get 30. We can't let Nurkic get 28. You know, there's a lot of guys on that team that can put up some big numbers, but they're not absolutely terrifying like Damian Lillard. So what the Nuggets have to continue to do is neutralize the rest. And that's what they did the other night, and it barely worked. But watch out. It's going to be a surge. It's going to feel like Saturday. Portland's going to be coming out extremely aggressive. It's survival mode for them. This is a bitter rival. They hate the Nuggets. Damian Lillard hates Facu Campazzo. Nurk's been getting at it with Michael Porter Jr. He's been fouling out. Lillard complained about Nurkic's foul, saying the timing of the foul call was awful. How about when Austin Rivers fouled you at the top of the key when he didn't actually foul you? We're not talking about that. There's a lot of bad blood here, Colfax. You don't think Portland is rearing back, ready to go, take this game, and then they want to go back to Denver. The pressure will be all on Denver. They want to win there like they did 2 years ago. And, of course, Yusuf Nurkic waved bye-bye and said, enjoy your summer. Avoid it tonight. I think, how do you get in there mentally, Michael, take shots, everybody. Michael Malone, how do you get in there mentally and say, this game is the most important? Pretend you're down 2-3. Because if you can get in there mentally and this team has a sense of urgency, then they'll win this game. But if you come out flat like you did Saturday, it's going to be hard to recover. You got to see Michael Porter Jr. cutting and moving around. He had a bounce-back game. He's got to be even better than that. Joker's going to do his thing. I doubt he'll have a 16-point game. He'll be in the 30s probably. Monte Morris, is he going to get 28? I don't know, but you need that production somewhere else too. So get ready. It's going to be a great one. Looking forward to it. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number 33 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk Colorado State Rams football. All these Boston College transfers are coming over. Is that going to bode well for CSU? I mean, we'll find out, I suppose. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-seven minutes after the hour. Can't reach Kelly. What's going on with that, Colfax? Is this some kind of conspiracy or what? We'll try again. Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. We'll see. A lot of people talking about this transfer, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a big name. Boston College football's leading rusher, David Bailey, transferring to CSU. So, you're getting a lot of Boston College transfers coming over. I'm curious to know the number now. Like, how many players have officially transferred over? Kelly's got it. Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Hey, Kelly, what's the head count now as far as how many Boston College players have transferred over to Colorado State?
We're up to five now.
Oh, okay.
And I just saw another Boston College guy go in the transfer portal today. So who knows? Maybe there'll be another one coming.
Let's just get them all over here, man. So, when you see, Rams fans, they tend to get a little extreme, and they're like, oh, we're bringing over a bunch of guys that were a part of a 500-type program. It's a little different, and it's only five, but, at least it's worth having a conversation. I would imagine a 500-type program could translate to a few games over 500 in the Mountain West Conference.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yes, they are coming from a program that went 500. They're going to a program that went 1-3. Again, they're going to a 500 was a win better.
I'd be happy to get
than
there.
The Rams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, and again, the transfer thing right now is just so insane.
Oh, my
with
gosh.
People everywhere. I unfortunately have alerts on for different Twitter feeds that when new people go on the portal, and it's hard to even look at my phone because they're just going off constantly for the last 6 months. It's insane. But I think if you're getting the right guys from those programs, you've got something. I think it's smarter to take a transfer that you have coached before at the college level than than a high school kid you've never met, which is honestly with all the way recruiting has been during COVID, most of the high school guys that they're signing, they've never actually met. It's been virtual meetings, virtual discussions with the families, with the kids, highlights from, in some cases, sophomore seasons because they didn't play junior years, things like this. So I think that in the grand scheme of things, you're probably better off taking a guy like that that you have some history with than to kind of some of the random people out there that you hope are good, but you have no idea if they really are.
Yeah, it does make sense. You recruited these guys or had guys recruiting these guys, and you know them, and you studied a lot about them. So, you did the work. It definitely makes sense. Tell us more, or tell us what you know, Kelly, about David Bailey. Definitely things are pointing to CSU being a run-the-ball type of team to set up the pass eventually, but how well will David Bailey fit in the transfer from Boston College?
Well, I would assume he will fit in very well because I would assume that he was the kind of running back that Steve Addazio wanted in his offense when he recruited him to Boston College originally. And then he's proven himself a bit besides having been, the top high school running back coming out of Maryland, according to multiple recruiting sites coming out of high school. He went ahead and he ran for 800 some yards as the number two back at Boston College in 2019 and led the team in rushing last year as the primary running back. So I think that he's probably, going to be exactly what they need. He's big. He's 236 pounds, 6'1". So he's got more size than, and Marcus McElroy's up at that level too, but certainly bigger than Ajon Vivens, bigger than a lot of the running backs that Colorado State already had on the roster. And so I think he's got more of that physical pounding type profile. And I think he's probably going to be a very good fit. And I would probably pencil him in right now as, the starter. I think the pressure's on Marcus McElroy, and Ajon Vivens to try to beat out the new guy because the new guy's got some, has done some things and has proven himself to the head coach previously.
Marcus McElroy is interesting too, Kelly. He's had his moments for sure, but I kind of thought he would be a further along. And I know last year, again, it's hard to say anything as far as breaking down the film necessarily about last year, but that is interesting. I kind of thought he might take that mantle and run with it and be a featured back a while ago, but here we are. Now there's some competition. Can only mean a good thing, though.
Yeah, I've thought that about Marcus McElroy all along. The guy is a physical specimen. Looks every bit the part of a big-time running back. There are NFL guys that don't look as much the part as Marcus McElroy does, and certainly he's got the talent and the ability. We've seen flashes of it over his time at Colorado State. He's been, kind of snake bit by injuries at awkward times, and maybe, you know, fumble issues that it got, put him on the bench at different times when maybe, you know, he needed a little bit more playing time. All those things that have gone through, he is a player in my mind that has so much more potential than we have ever seen. But, you know, this, he's down to it. He's a senior now. Either it's you know, you either do it or you don't. And so he's definitely going to have the pressure on to even be part of the playing rotation, because Ajon Vivens beat him out last year, ran for more yards last year on fewer carries with a better average. And is, you know, I know that Marcus was probably still the number one guy coming out of spring drills, but Ajon was right on his heels, and now you bring in David Bailey, who probably moves ahead of both of them, and, at least on an unofficial depth chart going into fall camp.
Kelly, what do you think about that? Running back would be great. A stud running back would be great, some production, but you know, most of it really depends on that offensive line. Some Boston College guys there, too. Talk to us about what you expect from that line. Just here we are, June 3rd. We got a long way to go, but I mean, do we think this run game is really going to transition this quickly and be kind of a ground and pound and a really positive rushing attack?
You know, I think that's going to be tough. I don't think this year is maybe the year it all comes together. I think it's going to improve from what we've seen. I think certainly having those three guys that were together at Boston College in the middle of it, and now a running back that was at Boston College too and maybe has a little bit of familiarity with Cam Reddy and Elijah Johnson and Adam Karutz, the three guys in the middle of that O-line. Colorado State, you know, Barry Wesley and Keith Williams are the tackles. They were both previous Colorado State guys that have been around for a while. I think that line is gelling. I think they're going to be significantly better than they were last year. Whether or not they're yet ready to make a full transition for the Rams to have the true kind of ground game that Steve Addazio wants, that John Budmeyer, the new offensive coordinator, wants, that remains to be seen. I think they're going to be closer to it, but I'll bet you it's still going to need another year or two to really become what they want it to become.
Yeah, well, looking at the schedule, again, Kelly, we didn't get a chance to catch up last week, but getting some times and, you know, the networks and everything. Well, there you go. You got another Friday game. I'm getting used to CSU playing a lot of weird games, Thursdays and Fridays. South Dakota State, that first game of the season, September 3rd. I think that's interesting because Friday night's going to be happening in Northern Colorado that date, because UNC Ed McCaffrey's first game will be against CU that night, and then of course Preps football and CSU launching. So I mean, Friday night, September 3rd, it's going to be madness.
Yeah, it is. And you know, and you add in that it's Labor Day weekend and all the other things that go on Labor Day weekend in Colorado, it's going to be a big deal. I'm disappointed that it is at the same time as that UNC Colorado game, because I kind of wanted to watch that one too. So I guess I'll be setting the DVR to record that one while I'm over at Canvas Stadium covering the Rams that night. But I think it's you know, the best news for everybody is it's coming. It's getting close. And, you know, with COVID restrictions being mostly lifted, the Broncos have been told they can have full capacity. All the universities are planning on full capacity. Coors Field goes to full capacity for the Rockies at the end of June, I hear. So, you know, a lot of positive things. There's a lot of pent-up college football fan, excitement that's ready to be unleashed this fall, and it'll be interesting to see how all that turns out at Colorado State and elsewhere.
Yeah, no question about it. We're talking to Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Looking at the schedule, really, and we talked about South Dakota State. I mean, this is, it's an FCS team, but it's a pretty good FCS team.
National runner-up this past spring. Literally just a few weeks ago was the national championship game. So they played a spring season. So that in itself is going to be a little interesting too. I don't know if that helps them because they're fresher or if it hurts them because they haven't, you know, had time to totally recover physically. That'll be an interesting thing to see too. But yes, this is, in my mind, these are the worst possible FCS teams you could ever schedule. It's maybe good for fans, but as a FBS program, you've got a very decent chance you're going to lose to this team, which is going to be horrible for what it would mean for the rest of your season. And if you win, well, everybody expects you to win. You're supposed to win because they're FCS and you're FBS. in my mind, I wouldn't schedule FCS teams that are that good if I were a Joe Parker or a college athletic director at any FBS school. I'd schedule either ones that have tremendous regional interest, such as Northern Colorado, because they're right down the road. I think that one makes a lot of sense. Or ones that you're pretty certain you can beat if you're going to bring somebody in from a few states away. Make sure it's somebody you know you can get a win over. And I'm not sure the Jackrabbits fit that bill.
Maybe it's an appealing in a game, though, as far as fans going. Because like you said, it's FCS, but it's a team a lot of people in this area know about, South Dakota State. So I'll be curious to see what the attendance looks like.
Yeah, there will be more regional interest. You do have a lot of folks from the Dakotas in this part of the country, primarily South Dakota, because I don't think anybody really lives in North Dakota for the most part. You have a lot of folks from that area around here. And so, yes, there'll be a little bit of interest in that. And some of their fans, I think their fans could actually, they could bring a pretty decent contingent of Jackrabbit fans to put in that stadium. So it will be interesting to see. I don't think Colorado State fans are going to be all that excited about the matchup. I think you'll get a little bit of a bump from the fact that it's a season opener and a little bit more of a bump from the fact that fans couldn't go to games at all last year and so few were played. But I don't think it's going to be quite the level that they would have liked, or even what you would have gotten if they were playing Ed McCaffrey and UNC in that game.
Yeah, no question about it. I would have liked to see that too. I think, CU is going to beat UNC, but I'm still very much intrigued with Ed McCaffrey standing on the sidelines there for the first time. So it would have been cool to see Coach McCaffrey play both programs. Kelly, we're up against a break, but maybe next week we can break down the entire schedule. Get a way too early win total prediction from you too, if you're ready for that.
Well, might have to wait an extra week because I'm on vacation next week and I'm going to be somewhere where I hope I have no cell service, camping in the mountains.
So you're saying,
I do have cell service, I might just turn it off anyway.
So I won't text you for. All right, that gives you 2 weeks then to come up with your bulletproof schedule. I expect it to be flawless, or your prediction for the schedule.
Fair enough.
All right, Kelly, talk to you soon, man. Enjoy the vacay.
All right,
Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. He's a little worried about the South Dakota State game. I threw that out quickly. Oh, that's a win. FCS, I don't care. That's a win. Vanderbilt, that's a win. Toledo, I think I gave him a loss, and I gave him Iowa a loss too, right? So I've got him 2-2. Or did I give him Toledo, Colfax? They're on the road, so I can't imagine I did that. So I've got him 2-2 non-conference, and away we go. And then we get into a tough Mountain West, and you know what I already told you. I got him winning six, right? Yeah, that's what, going 500 bowl game. That would be a big deal. That would be a big deal for Adazio. 51 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. Another Colorado State story. I'm going to reach out to this guy very, very soon because he's back in the United States of America. We'll talk about him next.
Listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to The Halls Show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Nico Carvacho, former Colorado State Rams player. And I tell you, Nico's a guy that maybe really helped the other Nico get this thing recharged for Colorado State. Congratulations. He was playing over in Bulgaria. He was named the Import Player of the Year, first team all Bulgarian league, first team all import, and then they made the Bulgarian league finals. That's his rookie season, Nico Carvacho's rookie season. Assistant coach for Colorado State, Ali Farokmanesh, shared that earlier. And I'm telling you, man, he's one of the good dudes out there. He when the Eustachy stuff happened and Nico Medved took over, I think we had a debate for about 5 seconds whether or not Nico Carvacho was going to stay in Colorado State. Those two hit it off, and that was kind of when the Rams started to make this thing a go. And we saw some really good sophomores on that team at the point, and they were coming up. But Nico was awesome with this group. And I would imagine a lot of those players would say the same thing, that, hey, Nico really helped us grow as players, allowing them to be such a great basketball team the last couple of years. So congratulations to Nico Carvacho. We'll look to get him on the program very, very soon. Now that we can make it work, we tried to do it a few times, but we just couldn't quite make it work with the distance. So long-distance relationships are hard, Colfax. 12:57, the time. We'll take a short break. We're going to talk to a great friend of the show. We haven't had him on in a while, but Justin Adams from CBS Denver. Hey, he's a reporter, but he's a fan. We're going to talk about everything going on in Colorado sports. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.